In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. From a human vantage point, the Reformation's legacy is a mixed one. For Rome, it is a legacy of dissension and a direct attack on the papacy. Some more modern theologians, however, will admit that some of Luther's criticisms were actually valid ones. For many Protestants, the Reformation's legacy is one of being unshackled from the traditions of Rome, which led to a spirit of freedom that continues to change and to evolve today. For us, however, who are the true heirs of the Lutheran Reformation, we ought to see its legacy as taking what is Christ's and delivering it to fallen man. This, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is why we, the true theological children of Luther, ought never leave behind the Catechism. The authors of the Formula of Concord, as we heard earlier, wrote of this book that such matters also concern the laity and the salvation of their souls. Therefore, we also confess Dr. Luther's small and large catechism as they are included in Luther's works. They are the layman's Bible, because everything necessary for a Christian to know for salvation is included in them, which is handled more extensively in the Holy Scriptures. You who have been trained in the small catechism and taught to pray it, know that this is true. What other resource is more helpful in diagnosing the problem of sin than Luther's treatment of the Ten Commandments? There, Luther simply and yet profoundly unfolds God's perfect demands for his people, teaching us how we are to avoid sin and what we are to do to live according to his good and gracious will. With these commandments, God teaches us to rightly fear his wrath and judgment upon our sins. From the repentance wrought by the law, Luther leads us to faith by teaching us to confess the God who saves us from sin and death in the Apostles' Creed. Here we learn from the Scriptures about the God who created and sustains all things, all by the power of his almighty word, who sent his Son to be our Savior from sin and death, and who sends his Holy Spirit to call, gather, enlighten, and sanctify the whole church on earth. In the Lord's Prayer, Luther teaches us to look to the God confessed in the Creed and in accord with his commandments. As we pray for the hallowing of God's name, the coming of his kingdom, and the doing of his will in our midst, we learn to look to God for things, those things needed to support our bodily and spiritual lives before him. With these words, our catechism shows us what our Lord means when he says that we are to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and that all these things will be added to you. Then Luther masterfully frames the Christian life that has begun in baptism, lived in the absolution, the very pronouncement that our sins are forgiven for the sake of Jesus, and that is fed by the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. With these six chief parts, the Holy Spirit takes what is Christ's and delivers it to you. All that Christ has, namely the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, is yours through the working of the Holy Spirit with his word. He leads you into all truth. And thanks be to God that Dr. Luther distilled this word into something that can be prayed and engraved upon the heart of the Christian, even from a very young age. And so let us follow then Luther's example. Let us not presume to be masters of the riches of God's word, but instead, let us daily recite these things that we may, through the power of the Holy Spirit, receive the gifts that Christ has won for us and delivers to us through his holy word and his blessed sacraments. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.